Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Have a traffic tip, call WWL at 504-260-INFO.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL AM FM and .com.
Thank you both. We're joined now by Joseph Constance. It's 8:09, by the way, coming up on 8:10 on this Monday morning, September 19th. It's going to be hot, humid, as you just heard. But the good thing is another day with no tropical weather threatening us. So let's keep going. Joseph Constance, clinical professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences in the School of Medicine and research professor in the School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. And he is working on a research project in New Orleans with youths who are victims of gun violence. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm okay, sir. Tell me, I guess, first of all, just how prevalent is the problem? We know, but do you have some numbers?
Actually, I don't have numbers for New Orleans per se. We know from Jeff Asher's columns that, and from that article that came out in the Wall Street Journal this weekend, that we do have, unfortunately, the highest murder rate in the nation right now. And so for every person that is shot and killed, there are approximately another five who are experience a firearm injury that does not cause death. And the vast majority of those individuals are going to go on to experience severe physical and emotional consequences of that injury.
What is the study designed to do? What are you guys trying to, and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, trying to ascertain with the hopes toward what?
So trauma has many effects on an individual. I think most people are aware of post-traumatic stress disorder from research involving veterans and crime victims. And that's clearly one consequence of this kind of traumatic event. But one thing that PTSD is at the core is sort of chronic feelings of vulnerability. And with those chronic feelings of vulnerability, individuals, depending on the individual, can take different things to cope with that feeling of vulnerability. For certain folks that we're dealing with who are hospitalized at UMC, being a victim of a gunshot wound increases the probability that that individual will be re-victimized again, or that they might become a perpetrator of violence themselves. As you might imagine, this is true for many members of the community. If you've been a victim, you want to protect yourself against being victimized again, and this could mean carrying a firearm, including individuals who might not be able to legally own a firearm, just because of these, again, these chronic feelings of vulnerability. This project that we're doing is actually, we're trying to use hospitalization as potentially an inflection point in people's lives, hoping that we can reach them here, meet them while they're hospitalized, and provide 6 months of services to that individual. And it's not a PTSD treatment per se, although we do refer them for that. It's really looking at all the risk factors that are associated with revictimization or perpetration of violence and trying to address those risk factors.
Let me take a break. Doctor, let me take a break, and we'll pick it up here when we come back. Is that okay?
Sure.
Tell us what we're going to talk about when we come back.
I was going to talk more about the program, but I can talk about PTSD.
That's good. Okay. Let's talk about the program and both when we come back. 8:13. The cycle's got to stop somewhere. We're talking to Dr. Joseph Constance, clinical professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences in the School of Medicine and research professor in the School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. He's working on a research project in New Orleans with youth who are victims of gun violence. Almost 600 people have been shot in the city so far. And it's not just here. Chicago has a problem, too, where McDonald's says they can't find people to come to work in their home office there, whatever it is, regional office, and because they're afraid to travel in the city. More when we come back, 814, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is 8:18, and we're talking to Dr. Joseph Constance, clinical professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences in the School of Medicine, research professor in the School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. He's working on a research project in New Orleans with youth who are victims of gun violence. And, doctor, we got to stop the cycle somewhere. Tell us, please, more about the program.
Sure. This is a program that's been funded by the CDC. It's a research study that we're conducting. And again, we're trying to enroll mostly young men, young women too, but mostly young men who have been shot in our community into a violence prevention program. And the whole thinking again is that, you know, when you're shot, it obviously is a time of reflection. How did this happen? Why is this happening to me? And we're trying to use this as an opportunity to reach people who might be involved in social circles and in behaviors that put them at risk for both, again, being shot and potentially perpetrating violence against others. So what we're doing, again, we're trying to enroll them while they're in the hospital. And then subsequent to that, we'll be meeting with them in the community using a strategy that's called motivational interviewing. And this is sort of a newly developed intervention approach that was pioneered with folks with substance abuse. Who are resistant to change. In similar ways, we think that some individuals who are in cultures that have a significant degree of violence may be resistant to change. So we're trying to use this as an approach to reach them, connect them with services that would help mitigate risk. And what do I mean by that? I'm talking about things like low education levels, unemployment, dangerous carry of a firearm, substance abuse, or psychiatric conditions that might be related to their history of trauma. And motivational interviewing is all based on this idea that you really have to sort of recognize where someone is with regard to the stages of change. Are they, as you might know, if you know somebody with a substance abuse problem and that person fails to even recognize that they have a problem, insisting that they go into treatment right away is almost doomed to failure. And so you may want to, when you talk to that individual about their substance use, you may want to talk to them about whether they even think they have a problem and get them to reflect on that before you move to the sort of next level of creating maybe a plan to get over it. We're using the same sort of approach with individuals who've been shot. Again, after we do a risk assessment, looking at what are the factors in their lives that might lead them to be shot again, and then hooking them up with services in our community that could address these risk factors.
One thing I've always wondered about, and I don't want you, you know, I don't know what the protocol is, but apparently is there a fear of death? Is there a value of life? Is there not when it comes to those that are actively engaged in this life and not passively injured by a shooting?
I think you do see that, definitely. There is a fear of death. I know people think that there's not, but I think it's just the reverse. It's chronic feelings of vulnerability. Again, that's why you see the proliferation of firearm carry. It's also why you see maybe the proliferation of drug use, including, you know, sort of chronic and daily marijuana use as a way to just sort of self-medicate some of the symptoms of PTSD that's related to chronic trauma these folks have experienced. So there is definitely a fear of death, and in many ways it's a legitimate fear. I mean, providing a community that is objectively safer for these individuals, obviously that's beyond the scope of this project, but obviously that's needed. What we're trying to do is increase feelings of safety by taking them out of some of the social contexts that are particularly dangerous. So if you're unemployed and you're just hanging out, there's obviously increased probability that you might be shot or that you may feel the need to shoot somebody else.
I like to interrupt, Doc, but we're almost out of time, and somebody texted this in, and I'd like to get the audience involved as well. They're wondering if any stats are kept in terms of people that are shot that wind up with just a scar, and I don't mean to make that less than it is, but or that really have life-changing situations after being shot. Do they keep those statistics, or do you know?
They do. We at the University Medical Center, it's a level one trauma center. I don't have those statistics for me, but if there is a trauma activation, they're required to keep information on the nature of that trauma activation. And so individuals who have peripheral wounds, maybe a shot in the arm that's just treated and released, we unfortunately don't have access to those individuals because they're not hospitalized. So we'll not be enrolling them in this kind of program. But they do remain at high risk for subsequent victimization or perpetration.
Thank you, Doctor. I hope we get to talk to you again. Dr. Joseph Constance, Clinical Professor of Psychiatry, Behavioral Sciences, School of Medicine, Research Professor, School of Public Health, Tulane Medicine, working on a project in New Orleans with youth who are victims of gun violence.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.